being unsuccessful, it's not that bad after all. This is a podcast book, and that is, different podcasts I produce will be the introduction and various chapters. And I'm doing this to provide this book to you. This will be chapter one, and I've done the introduction. Just to clear you in with the introduction, I give the, as you do in introductions, having not read the book or written the book, obviously it's a bit hard to do with introduction, but I gave about the genesis of the idea in that I suggested the idea, and immediately someone said, what I'll do is I'll write the book before you and publish it, so you'll be unsuccessful at publishing this book. And the other level of unsuccessfulness is that I thought, oh, well, rather than publish it, because no one's ever going to read it, I'll just make it into a podcast series, which will do part of my cardiac thing correct. I'll get back into the cardiac thing, because it'll explain what the type of quality that you're listening to. Hear me heaving away, I'll describe that later. But I began to go on my cardiac walk and podcast away into a VP10, which I'd fallen in love with, raved on about. But I don't know, a few minutes in, I will never know. The lights went on and the device went dead, and I raved it on for, I think, about half an hour before I said, that's enough. And I clicked it off and it didn't go off, and it had actually completely packed it in. It had decided that when it came to being unsuccessful, a podcast about unsuccessful, it was about time. It packed it and died. And so there was silicon there, but not as we know it. It was, you know, the circuits were all switched on, it was all doing lots of power, but it wasn't actually doing any sort of useful thing. And I think it's been thoroughly dead since then. So as put here, before we get into the substance of the chapter, I am doing a cardiac walk, and this is the general thing. I've got to get physically fit, and I've also got to, having been through one round of cardiac rehabilitation and being thrown into a sort of a hostile situation, I was saying, hang on, look, this is really tough for me. I've had no, I've been on my back in wards and stuff like that. I haven't not been speaking to anyone for a while. I suddenly have to get into a classroom and teach to with hostile people marking me. This is really hard. It's really actually really hard to actually get sentences together, because I haven't been speaking to people. So I felt this time around, just because I've been trained as a trainer, I sort of know, oh, well, no one's actually helping me here. I know what I'll do. I'll actually just go with the flow and start off really slow and start training myself, getting my cognitive level up, and hopefully that this is going through. And so you've got these two sub-stories going on. One sub-story is the physical fitness, and you can hear me going across, and hopefully I won't be run over as I'm going here. And the other sub-story is that as you're hearing me, hopefully you're hearing me slowly improve in cognitive skills. So this is planning to get a series of podcasts off. I'm just beginning to go into YouTube's and start to improve. And it's like doing any sort of training. You can sort of focus, say you've got a range of cardiac exercises to do, you focus getting one done, but if you only do one in a lot of time, it's done really good, but you've missed out on a whole lot of other ones. So this is why the large volume of podcasting going through. So let's get into the actual chapter one. Now, as luck would have it, I've actually failed my first two attempts of chapter one, cognitively. And that is the sort of general understanding that I've got to keep the story simple, with simple elements and simple stories to it. Now, what happens to me is that as I'm switching on and just racking through my brain and actually, hey, that area really needs some maintenance there, I've actually forgotten these equations, or I had learnt these equations, but I've been knocked around so much I really can't remember certain aspects of special relativity or electromagnetic forces. I've just going, oh gosh, that's, oh, I really, like, you have to remember so many things deep down, and when you've actually forgotten or become familiar, you've been knocked around. So you're thinking deeply, And then when you say, you go in the back of mind, I'm doing podcasts, you've got all this need, all these thoughts which are coming together, and you want to be able to get it out very well. And of course, this is one of the things, as a scientist coming into teaching kids, you have to have a fairly short answer, especially if they ask you a question, which is actually quite insightful, but then there's three other people there, and then if you answer one, if you've got one person, you can confuse three others. It's actually rather quite difficult, it's quite a challenging thing to do. So it's one of these things where actually knowing more requires a big step of the skill. So if you know 20% more than the average teacher, you're done for. You have to actually know a hell of a lot more than the average teacher, and then know more again to actually filter that out. It's actually a major, major challenge. And of course, the story is that if they find you out, you're gone for. This is sort of the origin of this in terms of the feeling that, look, you are really unsuccessful, but there's nothing you can do about it. So with the cardiac episode, when you say, cue all my friends around me, well, I've missed out on that. I must be really unsuccessful. Or it's a really tough time at work. Cue, oh, no, they're rubbing their hands. Not directly, but behind closed doors saying, great, we can get rid of this person, finally. So you can say, well, you can't get upset about it, but you can say, well, look, I'm definitely unsuccessful. Let me think about it. Let's write a book about being unsuccessful and try and write down the fundamental laws of unsuccessfulness. And when you're doing any sort of problem, you start off with modelling it. And I looked at basically, can you do, let's really limit it down to a plant with nothing on it and one person. And I just started looking at that after a short while. That doesn't have enough freedom, complexity in the model to actually generate someone who's unhappy. I think they'd be more bewildered and bored rather than, or unhappy if they're unhappy, or they wouldn't feel successful or unsuccessful. They'd just be someone by themselves. So to up the ante, I've said, we'll have a planet and we'll just put everything really simply. There are two people and if there's two people, it's not going to be really interesting if I have them both sharing, both equally successful. I'll have one person successful, I'll call him Lord Mark, and one person who is unsuccessful. And I was trying to think of a really Westy or Bogan name. Sorry to offend people. Warren was one name, because I've just seen a few really Westy Warrens. Westy or Bogan, which means unsophisticated, tradie, working class person. Person who actually makes quite a lot of money, but when they get down to doing something essential, but not anything glamorous. But Darren recently has come up as a real Bogan name. I think someone called their rabbit Darren in a solution and a salute to Boganism. So Lord Mark and Darren. Now, well, let's look at, and there's only one house, and you guessed it, Lord Mark's in the house. And of course, it would make it a lot easier, but a lot more boring if Lord Mark said, right, we've got a housing crisis here. One house, two people. Why don't we just split things up? Now, that would be incredibly boring because it would be sort of a soap opera, Lord Mark and Darren, which I suppose will be produced by the ABC at some point. Lord Mark has got his house up and it says, no Darrens on the board. Definitely no unsuccessful people. No, it says, no unsuccessful people. Darren knocks up and he says, look, excuse me, you're unsuccessful. Now, Lord Mark has his house, and look, in my imagination, it's just stone, there's no windows, there's a big screen TV, a few mod cons in there, but there's no windows, so the view is really obvious. And one of the things is, The view for me is that sort of existential thing is calling you. Sunsets, horizons, concepts. The view is actually made up of a construct of concepts, which is yelling at you to analyze and think about. But as I've found out, the people in views, they look at it for a short while, then become bored, and then start reading a magazine. I don't know. Not the Henderson Shooters magazine, but sort of, I don't know, holidays, golfing holidays for the rich and famous, or other you know, sort of gossip magazines. And which really speaks to me about what a successful person is, in that success actually creates an environment of these things which actually entrap the person. I don't mean I'm jealous of them or anything like that. To be quite honest, I've got no real desire for a penthouse somewhere. I'm sorry, all those people who are hoping that to visit me up in a penthouse. I'm sorry, I'm just really not that interested. Was interested in the penthouse as the underground car park, looking at the various moulds on the pillar, so the underground car park, I suppose, for it, or go up and, again, being interested in moulds, open up the fridge and check for moulds, and miss all the most important things. But what I want to make a point is that these mod cons or views, we've done some research on them, and that is, people have written research grants for to have a view. When I say view, I say a piece of flashy high-tech equipment for education. I'm thinking, in this case, of social robots. These are these little white Japanese robots with lovely eyes, not creepy sex robots or anything like that. They're plastic. And they're quite sassy, and they can give wise cracks back. So, and then they've done the research with the hard yard research, making business cases for buying a few of them. And the situation is quite complicated when you get to it, because they find that interaction with this robot is limited to 3 interactions before people dislike it or respond against it. And what I'm going to be saying is that the same is true for views. People look at it, and then their only way of when a new person comes along, the only way to say, well, I'm used to this view, it's really got no impact on me now. I'm just so successful that success, the bounty of success, doesn't have much of an impact on me. But in these, getting back to the robots, the first time is quite sassy, the second time is tried to spar with it, the third time is tried to collect an interesting story about how it marked up, the fourth time is not lack of interest. And then in a classic thing, they said, well, people with social skill problems and learning difficulties can last 4 or 5 times before they reach this particular time, which really goes down to the basis is that I think we started off as a social creature, sort of in a troop, and various people got tools and sort of gone off in that area. But that was really the same story over and over again, that people... this is the thread through. This is me going up a hill and beginning to breathe a bit hard to get up there. So there is this thing that Darren in his world by himself is not sufficient. Not Darren, did I say Darren? Lord Muck in his world by himself is not sufficient. And he really needs to look out the window. But one of the things he's looking out the window is at how Darren is doing. And one of the things which would really rather upset him is a whole other house and another thing of success going up. And one of the things that might creep you out is that, let us say we're here, you and I are there observing it, and we can actually look out the window and we can say, look, there's another house up there, and that person is quite successful over there. Lord Mark somehow will not be able to see that. They'll see it, or they'll say, well, they're my friend, they'll take it the success, but they won't integrate what exactly that means or think deeply about it. And indeed, the general thesis is that success and deep thinking don't go together. In my sort of little Marxist world, not deliberately Marxist, but it turned out to be a bit Marxist as I talk about it, because now we get on to Darren, and that's one of the things that preoccupies Lord Monck a lot, in terms of that his success is relative to it, and his worry, he's got to do a lot of either charity work for Darren by getting him blankets for when it's cold, and when I tell you, it's pretty damn cold at the moment here up in the Blue Mountains. All that charity work, he's got to have charity dinners for him. He's got to try and do some basic aid to solve the housing crisis for Darren, because he's out there. Darren's out there by himself. And of course, the obvious thing of just letting him inside the house and live communally is just would not occur to them. The sort of a logical barrier, and you ask why they can't think. Well, they can't think because they've got success objects all around them controlling how they think. We've got Darren there, and Lauren Mark has got a fair amount of his concern about having this strange feeling they're not thinking properly. They sort of have a go at thinking, and it goes back to, I must still be successful. That seems to be the good end point of any thought structure, is that I feel successful, I can stop thinking now. It sounds as though I've got a chip on my shoulder. Perhaps I do, but that's the least of my problems. But Darren, he is unsuccessful, and being unsuccessful, he's able to be reliably work day in, day out, trying to meet his basic needs, which is growing all the food for everyone. And if he grows, just in a simplified world, there's one, two people, one house, some soil, which you grow potatoes in. And if he just grew one potato, which would be enough to keep him alive, he would be the worst, most unsuccessful person there could possibly be. Because this is going to end up that everyone goes in hardship, because Darren's going to lose that potato because the society needs it. But what in general happens is that sufficient resources and the bounty of the earth is such that Darren can grow five potatoes. And so what number of potatoes do you think Darren will get to keep? Well, I think the answer generally is one potato. The other four potatoes, once assigned for the emergency potato reserve, which is controlled by Lord Mark, one's for Lord Mark himself, another's an admin fee, another's a strategic command potato, which is stored to defend the system from other people, even though there's no other people on the planet. We can probably see them, but there's none, actually no other person in the planet, particularly because conversations must only go between Darren and Lord Mark. There can only be interactions there. And if Darren was trying to introduce ideas outside the control program, it just wouldn't compute. It all hinges on Darren being very successful at being unsuccessful. And I think this is one of the things that's really captured my understanding, is that when people were saying associatively, you're unsuccessful, well, or to various people, this associativeness, this sort of was very, very revealing, because I think you can say that and move on or fix it, but to actually have that as the end point of, you're unsuccessful, corresponds with the same endpoint that I am successful, and it's not very meaningful way to move forward. Now we have this thing of associative thinking or declarative thinking, that you come from a particular family, you went to a particular university, you've said this in the past, therefore off with your head. So there are situations, and my thesis is that this terror of associative thinking by people who have moved into the successful power bracket is there all the time, but there are certain situations where it becomes the mode of operation in general, where people are starving, there's not enough potatoes being produced, something's got to give, there's a bit of fight. So French Revolution, there's bad harvests before the two French Revolutions, the Arab Spring, there was hardship, the bread price went up. The Stalinist era, there were mass starvations. People were just dying in the fields from not enough food. And when you're dying, the stakes go up and this terror thought goes into higher gear. But when I say it goes into higher gear, I think it's always there because it's hardwired into this success thing. I think success is a damn great thing because at the end of the day, a successful society has meant that I'm alive. They've sort of step by step engineered these super magic materials to put inside me. So I'm actually a cyborg. Coming on, I quite literally mean that I have a mechanical diamond-coated... I've got graphite, diamond coated graphite component in my heart, sewn in with a pet cow's been put inside my heart. So it's not so bad trying to solve problems and grow big. It's just that growing big, people making money out of it and feeling good about it. That's the problem, is that it's really good. I cannot recommend human progress anymore because I wouldn't be podcasting to you at all. You wouldn't be able to hear anything over the internet. Human progress is great. It's just that we have to pull out these people who haven't really contributed to any human progress at all, but just feel successful. They don't understand it, they haven't contributed to it, they feel successful, and therefore they can actually adopt the most convenient terror tactics to go ahead. And this often happens when Darren doesn't understand, he's questioning, is becoming self-aware of why he's unsuccessful. So he can still be successfully unsuccessful. So successfully unsuccessful is turning up, producing your 5 potatoes a year, going, oh dear, I'm unsuccessful, I've got to give up all my potatoes. You've got the situation where there's this continual probing, because you've actually got to get right on top of it before Taryn starts to think differently or affects the other Darrens. Not that there are other Darrens there. It's all an individual thing. And I think this is one of the things, is that people do, even though I've made this a mock model, people do actually live in two people universes, me and the boss, and me and this. Getting back to it, there's this sort of terror by associative thinking to actually keep the logic level low, the analysis is low, and so it becomes to split up the potato time. Now, there is this, when I say terror, an example of the terror which has sort of been packaged and fed back to us in a sort of, this is a children's book, is Alice in Wonderland. There's a sequence there, maybe Alice in Looking Glass, a sequence which rather struck me in that it spoke to me but no one else, was the time when the Queen got really upset with the Cheshire Cat, who was there for no reason in her associative world. It was just smiling, and it was doing things by losing its body and just being a head and just eventually being a smile. The Cheshire Cat, because cats can't smile. It's a pretty amazing idea. And the Queen could not comprehend it. The Queen was operating on a terror model, and it was, her logic was A equals B equals C equals D, you're dead. So she said to the executioner, off with that cat's head. And the executioner had to come back and say to her, well, look, ma'am, I have a problem. I can cut off the head. I can actually do the declarative thing that you've said, but it's not going to be very good because they don't have a body. And this is sort of what I want to sort of say in this Darren thing and his 5 potatoes. If Darren doesn't not give the potatoes, but actually does things like make potato chips with them, or fries or curlies or mashes it up for a pie and something like that. That's something creative. This is absolute the head floating. This is something very confronting and very difficult to deal with in this unsuccessful system. So Darren's successfully been unsuccessful, and not obliquely been unsuccessful. If you're obliquely unsuccessful, you're not functioning properly in that system. So you might be still producing potatoes, but if you're not thinking correctly, you have to go. And that's true, say, in the Stalin's era. You had obviously competent scientists, competent administrators, competent musicians, competent intellectuals, but that wasn't good enough. Actually doing your job wasn't good enough. You could be denounced, and denouncement, there's no justice, it could be just by association. You have to go. And this is rather interesting in terms of, this is a way of successfully being unsuccessful at being unsuccessful, but still creating forward. And I think I know what I'm talking about. But I suppose the take-home message here, I know I'm desperate when I say this is a take-home message, is that there really is no such thing as success or it's illusion of success, because the illusion of success means that you're unsuccessful in a whole lot of other areas and you are sort of bound to the objects of success and your thinking doesn't improve. But you have to look at these Russian dolls of unsuccessfulness to actually see a solution. And it's wrong to actually say that you can actually win in the successfulness lottery. It's wrong to say that, because that's not what it's all about. Because there's actual fundamental programming problems with being successful. I'll do this in another chapter of success, which is destroyed human races or destroyed whole things. That's the only thing. It's just that being unsuccessful is not all that bad. You're never going to win, but you can transform situations by, I suppose, basically culture jamming. That is the actual creation of potato chips out of your potatoes. Darren doing that, it's not going to stop the process of the success cancer continuing on, of putting it aside, but those chips or that imagination will continue to persist beyond the sort of success-unsuccessful framework. I know what I'm saying? And in that case, for that creativity, it's got no origin in the success-unsuccessful framework. So if you are thinking about that framework, you can never get there. So, like in this case, I had just general feelings that I had these problems, and I couldn't achieve it here. If I was at this level of speech and coordination and stuff like that, and therefore I just began podcasting. So podcasting themselves is just one form of potato chips. Potato chips there, and it's not about being successful. It's just about, well, that's not all that bad, and I think that's a real philosophical moment that I suppose set yourself up for unhappiness if you say success is going to make you happy. It's just about transforming your lack of success into something valuable to yourself, of quality to other people. that doesn't necessarily hurt anybody else and isn't all that bad. Thanks for listening. I hope this makes some sort of sense to someone out there.